independent of the journalist position. Welcome once again. Thanks for tuning in to Doom Radio, also known as Tango TV, where we're back. Back again. We're back. Tell a friend. Tell all of your friends. Frankly, just tell everyone. We need the listenership at the moment. Alright, so Charlesman isn't here, and neither is TMD, aka the Mining Donut, who was in the last two episodes. So we've wrangled together two other folk people. You all know Matt Tropiano, of course, and Rocking, who may or may not just be making cat noises. We don't know throughout the entirety of the call. Maybe some actual discussion will eventuate. Anyway,
One would hope, yeah.
Yes, there's some news. There has been some news. I didn't actually check the date of it, but it might have been yesterday, might have been this morning, just before I got up. But there's a new TNT project announced by Mr. The Joshman, who I think previously did he oversee Woo, the Woo project, the jerky stuff. I haven't actually been keeping up to date with that, but anyway, he's announced something new. One interesting thing I did notice in the title is that it has a question mark at the end of it, like a new TNT community.
A new project? Another one?
Is this happening? I mean, it's like, it's almost, you know, you didn't go in expecting to actually make a project. It's like, do you think like this is a good idea? And then it just seems to be the trend to me. I'm not sure that's a negative thing, but I'm just noting it. NJ's released a GZ Doom map on the ZDM forums, which was brought to my attention on the CACAWARD suggestion thread. So go check that out. Such is the preparation on the show that I actually haven't bothered to see what the name of that was, but you'll find it. It's by NJ. It's the link's there. Don't go to the ZDM forums directly. Go to the CACAWARD thread. Yeah, I'm hopeless. Speed mapping stuff also. There's been quite a lot of it this week, and not just the Abyssal speed mapping sessions. The speedrunners community has got together, led by CraftLab. There's actually a map by Dime in there. Dime. A map by Dime.
Oh, boy.
God. Yeah, no, the last time he did something, didn't have an exit.
Nice.
Just stuff. Star 10 and wood ceiling. That's quality. don't mean to poke fun. Actually, no, I do mean to poke fun at the guy. And the Russian Doom community has also put out a speed mapping compilation. You can check that there's a Joe Ilya map in there. We all know how much you love Joe Ilya. To death. So how did
Joe Ilya get involved in a Russian speed mapping?
I don't know. I thought he was Russian. Isn't he?
He is?
I think he might be, yeah.
Yeah. He's,
ah.
Yeah. Definitely that.
I know that.
Yeah. and I'm not sure if this is newsworthy, but it is, I think, worth pointing out. Nonetheless, we have successfully decimated the new stuff backlog, which was, I think, there was like stuff from a year and a half ago at one point there, and there was like 100. It's basically old Memphis's fault because he decided to chuck a billion single. He didn't compile anything, just every single individual map, and he makes them constantly, so there's that. So thanks for Sly Fister and a bunch of other folks.
And Joe Willia.
Like badass dudes. So Joe Willia, he did reviews, didn't he? I think Bloodshed has said at some point he'd start rejecting them. No one listens to the show anyway, so we can say that sort of thing comfortably. Anyway, the format of this show, as you may know from the last two episodes, has changed a little bit, so now we'll just be discussing everything off the bat. Doom-related, bringing items to the table, and see where it takes us. So, yesterday, we were doing speed mapping for the Abyssal speed mapping session hosted by Obsidian, and this is, I think, the 10th one that I've participated in, the 8th or 10th, or 9th or something like that. And I've never, ever, ever managed to meet the 2-hour, finish the map in the 2-hour time limit that's provided to me. I always go over. In fact, there's a dedicated name given to the hour that comes after that called the Alfonso treatment, which is named in my honor, obviously, because I'm slow.
I don't think that's a good thing, though.
That's not a good thing. No, I can't go fast. I don't know how to speed a map, basically. I mean, I know how to make a small map, but the only reason it gets done within, you know, 3 or 4 hours and not, I don't know, 8 or... It's just because of the size of the map. I don't actually know how to speed up.
So, yeah, you gotta make those smaller maps, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that, how small does it have to get? Like, for me to make it, it has to be a 30-second map. That's basically me. I can't, and that's embarrassing. I don't want to do that.
Well, where's most of the time spent? Is it in thinking what to add or what to change? Or is it in the fretting about whether it will look right, or where do you think most of your where your time is taken.
I feel it's just that I don't feel the need to go faster because I'm comfortable with the process. Like, it's if I know that the product that I'm going to put out in at the end of these 3 hours rather than two is going to be something that pleases me, and then if I rush it, it's just going to be shit. Like, I don't know. I feel like any attempt that I make to speed up the map just invariably results in the map just being worse, and so I don't...
Well, worse in what way? Worse, worse how?
Worse in that half the map is still Star Town by the time that I get to the end of the... Because that used to be my chief process, is just to texture everything last, and I've kind of changed that, but that's still...
Yeah, yeah. Texturing last is kind of... I don't know. It, as you make a map, like if you have all the time in the world, it's really, really easy to just draw out the map and texture as you go along. Some people even put in like the items and monsters as they go. I usually do item placement last.
No,
but,
that is me actually. When the texture comes before that, but
yeah. So I mean like the. But, like, when I make a map, when I'm, like, creating the structure, I usually do textures at the same time because the thing is about the Doom Builder and a bunch of other derivative editors that they tend to remember the same texture that you've been using.
Yeah.
Especially if you create
a new area,
sectors.
Like, onto the void somewhere, then it defaults. Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, it kind of has an intelligent way of figuring out what the continuing textures should be. So if you already defined that, starting out, then you're not going to need to spend too much time if you have to vary up the scenery. And when you do vary up the scenery, any additional geometry you draw will be within or, close to the same theme that you're going for.
See,
so, I mean, you save time there.
I actually thought that I had arrived at a point, I actually really admire Tarnsman and stuff, and he's got a down pat. I mean, we know he works fast anyway, and he'd be able to, you know, he's developed a style that enables him to work fast, and everything remained visually impressive, and that's kind of what I was shooting for. When I look at the sort of total line dev count, sector count of my completed map, it's roughly parallel to what Tarnsman's doing. So I thought that just in adopting that style, it would help me speed up, and it probably has, but definitely not to the extent that I really wish to if I want to participate in these sort of speed mapping events, because I'm not even sure if it could be considered a speed map anymore. Like, what's the cutoff point?
Like, well, the cutoff point is whatever the speed mapping session.
Oh,
is.
Yeah. So I'm
yeah, Alfonso.
So I have never made a speed map out, is what you're saying.
No, right. I'm gonna say no.
Shit. You made a quick map. It's, you know, it's a little fast. It's not, you know, it's not speedy.
It's not speedy. It's a
It's a marathon map, I believe. Like the what is it? Somebody wanted to have like kind of like just a marathon map contest. Like the only stipulation was you couldn't stop mapping. Like you couldn't go back to it. Like you'd have to complete it in one sitting.
Oh. Yeah.
So I mean, they're marathon maps then technically,
I feel terrible.
But they're not. I guess within the constraints of the speed mapping session. Yeah, they're not speed maps.
Oh, man, I remember there was a 32 and 24.5. I remember it was like really grueling as far as that goes. It almost was like a marathon thing for me because I think I made like three maps and then I detailed three or four maps and I was just basically just sitting in the chair like doing all this shit like straight for like 6 or 7 hours. It was really grueling.
6 or 7. Holy shit. I know RC Talks made E3 and 3 of Jim Lloyd did in an 8-hour sitting, not a bong. I don't know. I think I'm probably capable of doing that. Though the only time I've actually sat down to play anything, let alone map something, is when I played Stronghold with Townsman. Just I don't know why I did that. That was
Stronghold.
Oh my, mistake. I pity you.
I don't even remember what point I was trying to prove. I think 2 hours into it, I just wandered out, but I had to finish the business, and we didn't, because actually, Townsman had to go to work. I think he actually worked. He played through the evening, anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you guys continued that, there would be no way you would, like, finish in any reasonable amount of time. Like, you probably would have been stuck doing that for at least, like, a good 3 or 4 hours more, I'm sure.
You go down to that.
You have to take into consideration, like the failures, you know, having to retry the maps a few times and stuff like that. It would have been just awful.
It would have been, because I remember when we stopped, we were like 4 or 5 maps away from the end, so we were contemplating going on. But obviously we didn't. And then when I actually came back to finish it, a couple of days later, just completing the remaining four maps, it's like 18th wave, 20th wave. It just goes on for fucking ever. It actually took like 3 hours alone to do those last four maps. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah. Says it all, doesn't it? Anyway, I guess what I'm kind of getting at with this topic is what I want to lead into is just sort of understanding what your guys' process is when you actually sit down and conduct a speed map or a map in general, I suppose, if you're just wanting to make something small and a reasonable amount of time. Mm. So, I mean, what I tend to do, I have a pretty good opener. It's usually that I always flounder towards the sort of 1.5 hour mark and, I don't know, get caught up in detailing, I suppose, just to answer your question there, Matt. But I tend to sort of really, really loosely visualize a starting area. It doesn't even have to be a main area, and how that might connect to different places. And it almost never sort of comes out like that, you know, after I finish making, but that's okay. I fully expect that to happen. I'm quite happy with that part of the process. But after that, it's all willy-nilly. The plan goes out the window. And that's where I sort of slow down. So I guess it's that second half. So I'm just wondering what your guys' process is. Like, what's the first thing you do when you sit down and start up speed map?
Well, when excuse me.
When excused. That's a command, by the way. Have you noticed?
Yes.
It's pretty fucking rude.
Yeah, excuse me. Now.
Do it.
So, speak. All right. Yes, sir. So,
excused.
Okay, I have an excuse to speak. So the, I don't know, when I start out, I kind of have like just, I think the real trick is to not be afraid of putting stuff in. Like, there's always that cycle of, oh, I just added a staircase here. Do I really want it to be a staircase? Would it work better as a lift? What would I put around this? Where is it leading? Where am I going up? Will I have to make this go back to the main room? You have to just squelch all of that doubt in like all that doubting voice in your head and just do like it's like just has to be
a really
stream of consciousness.
By the way,
squelch. Yeah.
Squelch.
To silence or. Forcefully silence. So, I mean, the thing is, you can't second guess or doubt what it is that you're kind of committing work-wise, because there's plenty of time lost just worrying about what you've just made. And I don't know, like, I guess it's easier for me because I'm, like, pretty experienced in map making and stuff like that, but I kind of now, if you've seen a lot of my speed maps so far, or like just, I think there's only like, what, three of them, four of them?
They're very monotextured. I have noticed that.
They're monotextured. They're also slightly similar, not in layout, but in style.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I kind of revert to, like a kind of like an Eric Alm, like geometric type of style. And simplicity, but that is me just on autopilot, just adding something, and, okay, I need to have a spot where the player can see a locked door before they see a key, and my brain pattern just, that's just like my thinking pattern throughout the entire process, and I don't really...
Autopilot at that point?
Kind of, yeah, but I mean, like, I mean, it's, as I said, it's easier for me because I've done this... So very much, but the real trick is to not, like, it's just, you're not going to make a bad map, or I mean, if you're going to, it's not going to be as good as if you had all the time in the world to work on it, but I mean, speed mapping is kind of like just that thing where you have to say, what do I spend the most time on, what could I sacrifice that additional thought or that additional thinking part, and what do I lose if I do? And in this case, like at this point, if I just put things in the map and hope for the best, but it's always been in a way that I know works from what I've done before, then there's less of a chance of me needing to go back and fix everything, I guess. You just have to kind of like dig through your library of what you like or what you know works in terms of map layout and style, and then that becomes your main blueprint for anything new that you create.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be the process for me, largely. Actually, it's possible that I just haven't done it enough yet. I mean,
right.
We've done collectively about 15 speed maps across all projects, and you'd think by that point. You know, you would start to become familiar with your own process for speed mapping specifically enough that, you know, you could start getting underneath the goddamn time limit. But I was just thinking as you were talking there, that it possibly the reason that I take so long, that things fall apart past a certain point is that I actually do start enjoying what I'm making. And I'm saying I actually can really see potential for this map, and I sort of don't want to cut it off short because it might actually wind up rubbish. It might actually sound ridiculous, but it's almost like if this map was worse, I'd probably be winding it up quicker.
Yeah, that's the thing. You have to be kind of like nihilistic about what you create. As creators, we don't like to see anything we create like fall to the wayside. But I mean, like, the thing is, if we're confident enough in our abilities as creators, then we're, I guess, you know, at least for me, I'm okay with like some things being thrown out, because then I know the next thing is probably going to be better because I've learned what not to do by my previous things. So I mean, it's like you can't be, especially with speed maps, you can't be too heavily invested in it. Like, there's no, the goal should never to be to stand out among everybody. The goal is to make something functional and playable, and that in and of itself would stand out if, like, you know, people, like, you know, go through all the maps and judge it and, like, say, oh, this map was better than this map or whatever. Like, you just have to be really, really, I guess you just have to get to a point in your regular skill set to be comfortable with doing something in, I guess, a limited constraints such as this. So, I mean, you can't... It's hard to give up on, or it's hard to, like, you know, let go of the investment in creating that sort of thing. But if you know that the next thing you create is going to be better than the previous one due to what you learn from what you have created so far, it becomes less of a cost, I guess.
I know Rocking has a process, 'cause when I tend to look at his speed maps. He actually said to himself yesterday, they always feature a bridge. He loves his bridges during speed mapping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know his maps tend to be a little, not in a bad way, but they tend to be feature a lot more right angles, sort of more orthogonal than maps that he spends a long time. What's your process like there?
Well, basically, I'm going to kind of start out like you, Alfonso. I mean, I have like a vague idea of like a room, and then I'll like see what else I can build off of that room. But I think lately, usually, I think that's actually like the process I have for like, or how, maybe how I used to make maps, like ones that aren't speed maps. But lately, I've been trying to go with just like a big picture kind of idea, like a whole like main concept for a map, and then I'll build like the central area that I want, and then like build everything outwards from around it. So that's pretty much how I've built the maps I've made in like the previous speed map compilations. But it's like, it's still like, there's definitely no clear idea like what the hell I'm doing. It's like, it's completely unknown. I'll just get like, just like a singular idea, this past map I made for the abyssal speed mapping thing. It's like, okay, well, I made a box, and now I made a tower in the middle of the box. So I raise the ceiling a bit, and I'm like, I guess I'll have like some thing where the player has to like get inside the tower, and then they'll go to like another upper level in the tower, and then that'll lead to somewhere else. And so I start like making the rest of the map around the tower, have like a bridge or something that the player has to raise to get to the lower level of the tower. And so like, that's like the first kind of objective you have to do. And so you make your way around the level, and that's pretty much just like how it went about. And
how far into the process do you get before you actually realize like what objectives and what sort of progression you want to offer to the player. Because I tend to, like, I actually finish up the map almost in its entirety, like, texture-wise and layout-wise before I even... But it sounds really bizarre, but before I even think about sort of what the progression is going to be like. And then I just put the keys at either end, and I sort of organize the thing placement around that. But I think maybe in that case I just have enough confidence in the sort of way that I'm shaping things that it will just naturally give way to a sensible progression. But for some folks that might not be the case. Like, they have to think about it in advance. So, like, at what point do you say, okay, this is what the player's going to have to do, for example?
Well, I guess... right after, like, I made the tower and I applied, like, the textures to the map just to make it not look like shit so I actually feel like working on this thing. I guess pretty much, like I said, as soon as I built the tower, I said to myself, well, the player's gonna have to get into the tower, so I'll make a bridge that you have to raise at some point in the level. So I made the bridge, and so that was, like, the first objective, use, like, the first tag, and then, I think I wanted to add some height variations, so I added, like, a second, like tower lift elevator thing that goes to a lower level. And then I just got the idea, well, okay, I guess the player's just going to traverse, like, around the tower and hit a switch to raise the bridge. And then I just had, like, the other, like, final objective in mind. Well, the player is going to go from, once he gets inside the top portion of the tower, then he was going to open up some door in the wall, and then he was going to jump from the tower to that. Mm. And then that's where the map was going to end. And that's pretty much just, like, it's just, like, one thing leads to another, you know? I'm not really sure, like, how it's going to go about, but it's just
cool.
Pick it up as I go along.
It's a lot different than my process, I guess. I mean, because you're building things as you think of the next objective. Even though we start out the same way.
It sounds like a very inside-out process rather than outside-in. Like, the outside-in would be, like, I have this large idea that I want to complete, so then I worry about the details to complete the idea. But the inside-out approach is the, I have nothing, I'm going to put something here, let's see where this takes me.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how I make, like, almost all of my maps. Like, I kind of just, like, see where everything takes me, just play around with, like, shapes and height variation, and just get, like, different ideas about, like, what I want to do.
Yeah, I mean, like, for speed mapping, I'm very inside-out, but if I make maps in general without that type of... limitation, I'm more outside in. Oh. But the outside in is if I'm part of a project in which my map is a certain theme or a certain area, or it has to be like, this is a factory, or this is a a water treatment plant, or it's a or something like that, it turns into very outside in, because then I have an idea of what I would want to include feature-wise, and then it becomes inside out when I start creating the features, and then I'm like, oh, wait, this thing I wanted to include would go well here, and I make that part next, or I start... The pitfall that you have to really, really try hard not to fall into is the hub spoke type of layout, I don't know, like, I hate it because it's kind of a cop-out.
It is a cop-out. I was going to use the exact same two words.
Yeah, because, like, it's a bit of a cop-out when you're designing a map, because then, yeah, you have all these separate ideas in your head, and the cheapest way to connect them all is to put something dead center that acts as a hub for the rest of the map, and put all your ideas around it, connected to the hub as the connecting point. And that is, it is cheap and it's a cop out, but for some certain situations, it's the only feasible way to do things. Of course, I say that because I have one map of mine in mind with which I did that, uh-huh. But it was. That was, I'm thinking of Plutonia Revisited, map 28, Dance with the Devil, like, where you have to, kind of, like, kill three cyber demons in order to get the keys. And the order in which you did it didn't matter, but, how you went about visiting the other areas, kind of was slightly dependent on your your arsenal and whatever.
It's only a pitfall for some people, though. Like, I never feel pressured into making a hub. I'm, like, allergic to them. Well, I mean, the hub spoke specifically, and there's kind of a difference. I mean, you can you can make something a hub and really disguise its purpose. You can make a hub spoke like Peacock, where it's literally just a dot, and then you've got the three doors, four doors come branching off. Oh, God! Just thinking about it makes me squirm.
But, I mean, the thing is, though, you can still kind of... you can still kind of make it seem like it isn't a hub spoke if your side areas are, you know, don't follow that pattern either. Like, you're not just, like, going through the hub, and then you're in this area, then you go back out into the other area. Or, like, I mean, like, if you connected two side areas together, then it seems, like, less of a hub, and that center point is just, like, you know, conjoining area.
That's back then, X-Men. They're the masters of disguise and trickery. It's all about loop and layouts. It's all linear.
Yeah.
Everything's linear. Not everything. Quite a lot of it. Yeah. Anyway, that's pretty cool insights there. I mean, I difficult for me to see how I would, like, incorporate leading by the nose example that Rock King and you both talked about into my design, but I should probably give it a crack, because right now it's just sort of building into extra time constantly with my current method.
What also helps is, I mean, you really need to know your editor, like, front to back, like, all the controls and everything, because there are plenty of shortcuts that will save you a lot of time. Like, I mean, there was, during one speed map session when I was watching footage of Tarnsman his map.
It was also Essel as well. It's like, why don't you use Floodfill? Floodfill's a thing?
That's it. Like, that's the thing. I was like, wait a minute. It'll actually Floodfill, like, a section of walls that have the same texture. Why didn't I know about this before? So it's like, what is it? It's like shift middle click, something like that. Or whatever the shift paste, whatever the heck it is. And that saves me tons of time if I have, like, a whole section of walls that need to change. And then you also have to kind of, like, learn what takes longer to do in 3D view in Doom Builder specifically and out of 3D view. So you kind of have to play with that kind of time-saving part. Like, kind of like how speedrunners find all the shortest paths and all the little tricks. You still have to find all the little tricks to saving time doing what you need to do in your editor as well. So, I mean, it compounds with your creation method and the tools with which you use. And you save tons of time in the process.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we can just about wrap up this first segment on speed mapping process and the mapping process a little bit. Righto. So typically we go to our other guests and see what's cracking, what they've brought to the table. Have you guys brought anything to discuss? Maybe you thought of something just off the back of that discussion, possibly to work our way into something regarding the community, maybe. Or am I going to have to save the day and come up with topic numero dos? It's cracking.
Right, how about you?
Meow.
Meow. Oh, let's talk about cats. No, all right, okay.
Let's talk about cats.
If we can talk about cats, just to punch out the remaining 40 minutes of our time. No, it's okay. I've come somewhat prepared to, you know, we've got a little Doom Radio emergency kit here in the studio that we can just sort of open up and...
Okay, get that out, yeah.
To patch up huge 40-minute gaps. Discussing iWants. Now, I actually opened up Chex Quest 3 of all games. Like, I never actually played... The Chex Quest 3 or any Chex Quest for that matter until...
Yeah, me recently. Neither, actually.
Just totally curious to see what the hell it was, other than being offensively simple, which, I mean, easy to play. It is simple as well in level design, but it's not really surprising for the time it was brought out. I mean, easy, of course, because it was directed at kids. I just wanted to make a map for it, or attempt to make a map for it. Mostly because I was trying to see if I could work with the really, really simplistic base story provided to see if I could actually make a challenging map out of it. Because I actually don't think I can, because it's literally all just imp variants of varying strength. It's just if you took the range from the imp to the baron and then just put many intermediates, that's basically it. And everything else is all melee monsters that either move fast or slow. Mm. So it's more of a challenge, personally. But it got me thinking, you know, which IWADs would you like, either commercialized or, you know, ones that aren't, such as Harmony, for example, which ones would you really like to see more maps for. You know, even if you think the game itself isn't much chop, but maybe you see potential for it. Because I know I was having this discussion with Tarnsman regarding Heretic, and it's not uncommon for some folks, and Tarnsman's one of them, I think, although I might be putting words in his mouth here, to sort of write off Heretic, saying that, you know, Heretic isn't necessarily going to be fun, you know, when you're doing this style of play or anything. But I'm saying, well, hang on, there actually haven't been enough maps to really test that theory, you know? Because Curse of Despairal came along, and that had a lot of slaughter elements to it, and I sort of discovered then that, hey, actually, you know, sort of Phoenix Rod blasting up a sort of bunch of gargoyles is super fun, because they all go spread, and the mass of the monsters means that the way things are organized and the way that things move around the map is actually kind of wacky and has an attractive charm. So I'm just thinking, what games would you like to see maps for, to explore their potential? Or have you played enough sort of the other IWODs to have an opinion on that matter?
I would say I really want to see more stuff for Hexen.
Yeah.
A lot more. There is stuff for Hexen, but they're crappy deathmatch maps and really, really terrible hubs that people have fond memories of, but because there was probably a limited amount of stuff for Hexen, anything that had a little bit of effort put in them shined. So it was, I mean, like, there's a decently large amount of Hexen maps in the id Games archive, but none of them are, like, really noteworthy, except for maybe, what was this? It was one that began with C. No, I'm not going to plug that.
That's okay. No, I knew you weren't, so I was going to plug it for you. That's fine.
No, there's, what is it? Not Kent. Caldera, I think, was the...
Oh, Caldera. Okay.
Was the one hub that people seem to bring up, and I don't remember very much of me playing it, but I was like, oh, it's simple, and it's still kind of like it still suffers from like that beginner mapper type of style of maps, but I think just because people have actually made a Hexen map with ACS scripted behavior and stuff like that, it was notable at the time. So that was something that was I guess noteworthy within the early days of Doom mapping, when there were more Doom Engine games to edit.
Sure.
So Heretic I would like to see more stuff for as well, but the thing that acts against Heretic in terms of testing wise is there's always like a random element to what enemies drop and stuff like that in Heretic, and
that's
that
true.
Becomes
you can max out on something before you even get the weapon for it.
Right, really, and open. not only that, it's hard to ammo balance a map then, because what you'd have to do is basically the only feasible method I could think of is you'd have to kind of map with a mod that doesn't make the enemies drop anything, make your ammo use really tight so that anything additional that enemies drop is kind of a bonus or is your buffer zone in terms of ammo. So, like, on average, you'll create something that is ammo balanced in the end without being completely and entirely out of whack.
There is, incidentally, a dehacked equivalent for Heretic, but I think it actually doesn't work with the latest version. I think it only works with
1.2 or something?
Yeah, he hacked whatever it is. Obviously, it wasn't... didn't keep up to date with Heretic because Heretic didn't get any maps. So, that's my understanding of it. But yeah, I mean, if you could just... He hacked away those random drops, then maybe it would be... Yeah, you could remove that random element and make it more worthwhile. But, I mean, regarding both Heretic and Hexen, wanting to see more maps for it, I mean, is that specifically in the style of the original IWODs, or more to sort of move away and just explore sort of the possibilities of the gameplay?
Exploration. Exploration, definitely. Because, I mean, there hasn't been... I mean, like, Doom 2 is, like, what, reaching, like, about probably 7 gigabytes in size of just, like, stuff made for it alone.
Is that
maybe it? Like, I mean, but that's a lot. That is a huge amount of stuff. And I think compared to all the other ones, or is it like 9 gigabytes, maybe 10? Ooh, I don't know. It's been a while since I've actually counted or wrote something that will count it. But it is a huge, huge amount of stuff that was made for Doom 2. And, Doom is basically just a subset of that. So collectively, Doom has a lot of stuff, and, it's been out for longer. But, in terms of age, Heretic and Hexen are about, 17 years old, 18 years old. They're still old enough to warrant, if it had, a dedicated following, people making content for it,
right.
But they haven't, I guess. So
I'm actually not bothered by the fact that it doesn't have. Well, I am right now, but I think ultimately, it's not as though I really want to see it flourish into something on the same scale as Doom or Doom 2. That's kind of ridiculous to even think about. But I'd be quite happy just to see more maps for it, to come to the conclusion that it isn't, that people not mapping for it is actually as justified as it might look on the face at the moment. Yeah. Because, that we could easily write off things like Chex Quest or Harmony as having, we've experimented with it, people have done maps for it, we've come to the conclusion that actually it's not really much shot for editing potential.
Well, with Chex Quest, like you said, if the bestiary is just variants on projectile-throwing enemies, then, it's not going to be that interesting to make maps for, because then
science. No?
Yeah. So, I mean, Harmony, I think, though, suffers from a not very extended bestiary. They're very, very, it's very constrained. I think there's, at most, 8 different monsters, maybe 9.
Yeah, and that's 7, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. And that kind of, they might fulfill a purpose, but I think there isn't very much variety to warrant exploration. Maybe the guy who made Harmony, Thomas von der Velden, I think he at some point kind of explored everything there was to explore with the game that he released. And that might be a deterring factor, I would think.
I was a little disappointed when I finished the game and realized it was only 11 maps, but in retrospect I think maybe Thomas van der Velde knew this, and that's why he kept it off at that point, because actually taking it past then would really be stretching the game beyond its ability as provided by its resources. But all the same, a large complaint about Harmony was with the level design not complementing the gameplay. So and things being just horrendously imbalanced. I remember dying a lot in that game to sort of just...
Oh yeah, I remember the tiny little the baby dogs or whatever that were killing you over and over.
Holy shit, that's adorable! Oh my god,
like the weird the skull things with the glowy eyes that just jump at you.
Oh no, the little ones, the little vermin like creatures.
They were tiny and they did 25 damage or something per bite. I was like, what the hell? What were you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, there are still some elements in of Harmony that needed probably some gameplay balancing. I don't even think there was kind of a public feedback part of QB.
I went looking for a feedback thread, and I couldn't really find anything. I found the release thread, which had 2 pages worth of comments on it. And then something else. It actually got a cackle, I think.
Rightfully so. It was a huge undertaking.
It didn't get much discussion around it, so it's kind of difficult. It actually took me a while to even find the config files for it, because clearly, obviously, no one's made a map for it.
Right, yeah.
Doom 64 EX is another one, and I'm sure Kaiser will be really, really upset that he's put all this effort into this this source port, and then we've got basically nout for it. So far, there are things in the works, I think, or things planned to be in the works.
Right. It really needs a little push, I think.
Everyone wants something for that, surely. That really deserves to be explored, and whenever I ask anyone about it, they're really enthusiastic about it, so I don't know where it's not coming from.
I think we're all spread very thin in terms of what we're doing in the community. Like, we're all in, like, the people that are the most enthusiastic about it are already enthusiastic about three other projects that they're involved in.
Well, that's true, but we've seen a couple of projects like, I can't quite remember the name of it. It's the one that seeks to recreate Doom 64 maps in Doom 2, which is,
a waste of time.
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, if you're going to create a project that has anything to do with Doom 64, I mean, you might want to find an excuse just to do it in Doom 64 EX. I mean, why not?
So I mean, like, yeah, it's kind of, I think that's, I mean, there is something to learn from making, like, doing a demake project, like, what you can get away with, what you can't get away with in terms of, like, the mapping and the technicals of the Doom engine. But, I mean, past the novelty factor, its existence is not notable. I mean, it sounds very harsh, but, I mean, well, like, I mean, it's why bother?
It's kind of slipped away into the obscure sort of page 20 of Mods and Mods at the moment. Or
yeah, we have Doom 64 for PC now, so it's thanks to Kaiser. So I mean, it's moot whether or not that even gets finished or not. What was it? The before Kaiser wrote the port, or like, you know, not a port, but like, I guess it could be a port because it kind of mimics the behavior exactly of the Nintendo 64 version. There was a Doomsday mod called Doom 64 Absolution, Absolution, and then like that was like Doom 64 on PC, but it didn't. Let me think.
Did it have a package with new maps for it? Those who actually made the point.
It did, I believe, but I mean, it was kind of like, it was kind of a port from Doom 64's behavior to the Doomsday engine behavior. So it wasn't like a straight, this is how the Nintendo version worked, work within it. It was more like, we're mimicking the behavior rather than completely writing an engine around it. So that makes it different. Also, I think it didn't require the Doom 64 ROM in order to pull the patches from it, or did it? I don't remember.
I don't think it did.
No. So it was like a straight copyright infringement, really. So I mean, so like, but I mean, at this point, like, does Midway really care too much about Doom 64? The cartridge is out of print. They're not going to see any money for it if it gets sold between people. So, I mean, like, at this point, it's kind of abandonware. So I guess it really doesn't matter. I'm not a lawyer, but...
You'd be surprised. They would probably come out of the shadows and be like, hey, fuck you guys. Stop this shit. Bye.
Like, I mean, if we tried selling it, absolutely. They're going to be like, if there's money being thrown around that we're not getting a cut of, that's going to be an issue. But it's, I don't know. Like, I can't see them actually caring, especially since, is Midway defunct now? Or are they absorbed into another company?
I can't remember, actually.
I remember, I think John Romero or Tom Hall were actually a part of that company at some point as, like, executive.
Yeah, I think they were.
Producers. Let me, I don't know. Well, we'll look it up later. But, I want to see stuff done for Doom 64 EX, but there's I guess what has to happen is people actually have to do something, and I think the big push is going to be like a bunch of people get together and say, okay, we're making like another mini episode or 32 maps, and then
it just
has to happen. That's all that has to happen. There has to be like an actual push to do it.
I feel like it's actually one of the Doom-related sort of games that it would snowball in popularity if someone started it. Like, I put it to the community that there's something similar would happen for Heretic after Curse of the Spiral came about. And it's sort of, there were some projects that sort of came about after it, but it wasn't exactly a revival. So I was wrong on that point. And I was extremely wrong on the point in saying that of course, is Strife Absolution. Absolute Order would result in a couple of Strife. It nothing's come out of that. So I am going to have to eat my shoe.
I guess maybe, like, Strife isn't really that interesting. Like, I mean, it's like very, what is it, self-contained?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting that it merges the FPS and RPG genres in a sort of... I think it's one of the first to actually do it in the manner in which it's done. Right. So it has... doesn't have a monopoly on it, but it actually kind of does as far as, you know, IWADs are concerned. So I don't know, I would have expected, and I still do expect at some point the community would want to explore that at some point. But no, of all of these games, it's Doom 64 that I really think has potential to snowball as long as someone starts something. I know some projects are in the works, so we'll see what happens when those come out. I can mention is Doom the Way. Doom 64 the way it would, which
it would.
yeah, that's right. I mean, I think that was Tarnes' idea, or someone else. I can't remember. But
could
we'll
we just have like? Could we just have something that doesn't have to mimic another project?
Well, no, yeah, I was gonna say that as well. It would be nice just to have a project that isn't attached, that is just, you know, just playing to Doom 64 strengths. It isn't focusing on being a remake of something or inheriting from something else's style. Just make a damn map set. I think C3ON9 made something. I never played it. I don't know why.
I played it. It was actually pretty good. I really liked it. I mean, it was kind of like mixed the modern Doom conventions with the I forget what was it. The name of it was like a teleport base or something like that. I don't know what the heck.
Sort of name. Forget.
Yeah, strangely enough, like it was kind of like a slightly generic name, but like it merged kind of like the modern Doom style with like Doom 64's style, so it was still kind of it still used, like, you know, the colored lighting and the sectors very much how Doom 64 used it. Mm. So it was it felt like it belonged if the Nintendo 64 had slightly better hardware. And like that, and it still, I still liked it because of that. Like, it still fit the style or mood of a lot of the Doom 64's base maps. And it can be done. It's just that we just have to do it. And we can't, like, make it in, like, either a different style or like, concentrate on something, like, yeah, like the Doom 64 the way it would have done it, because I think it does a little, like, a lack of disservice, or actually does, wait, it does disservice.
Yes.
To, yes, to words. It does disservice to the concept of Doom 64, or what its mood, its setting is. So, I mean, like, we just need to find a
You'd still take it, though, I imagine. Yeah. I mean, if that project had eventuated, you'd still happily go ahead and play that. I mean, and who knows, that might be the one to kickstart something. I mean, assuming that nothing comes before it, maybe it will, because we still have to get Final Doom the way it did out of the way first, and that could be like a year and a half, 2 years plus. Who knows?
Or maybe just not do them. Is there really any kind of demand for them? Well, we already have, like, the Plutonia stuff. We already have, like...
I want to do it, Matt. I want to do it.
All right.
I want to make Milo maps. That's it. I like my chocolatey drinks. My Milo. All
right.
And my Dorian. Right. And I want to make an Elliot Cannon map.
Before, damn it. I'm not letting that project fade away. I have two maps. Damn it.
All right. Yeah. Well, what about you, Rot King? What other IWADs would you want to see maps?
Yeah. Have you made any maps outside of Doom? I think you might have made some Heretic stuff for some multiplayer related something or other.
I think the first Heretic thing I made, I just made like a random Heretic single player map that was just like E1M1, just like an episode starter, just because I wanted to do it, because I wanted to play around with Heretic.
Is that up on Ed Games, though?
Oh no, I didn't actually release it. But what happened to it was, there was like something with the Zandrono community. Maybe it was also still known as Skull Tag back then, but there was like a Heretic Last Man Standing game mode project.
Oh, yeah.
And so I submitted I modified the single player map to be like a Last Man Standing one. Like, I just made it like the connectivity better and stuff. So that map is in that project. And then there was a Heretic 1-on-1 project that I submitted, I think, two maps to. That
Did
was
we
like
play that
one? Yeah, we actually,
right.
yeah, we played
Did,
that
yeah.
one. And
except with like 8 people.
Yeah, I mean some of the maps can support like a small FFA, but like I remember, I think maybe it was you in particular that were just you were like saying like, oh man, screw this, like there's just like way too much bullshit going on. There's just, like projectiles flying everywhere. It's just like a clusterfuck constantly of like Phoenix Rod explosions and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then now I'm working on this this Heretic episode 1 replacement.
Oh, wow.
It's coming along pretty decently.
I came out of nowhere. That's good.
Yeah, I mean I don't know if you've ever seen the screenshots, so I'll show you on later on after this is over, I guess. Sure. But I think I have 4 or 5 maps done so far.
It's crazy.
And the thing is like I was going to have like a guest map because I didn't really want to do like an entire like Heretic episode by myself because it was like, oh man, like, I don't want to waste like this much time making stuff for Heretic.
Right. Yeah.
But I think I might just like finish it out myself. Like it depends.
Go for it.
But anyway, I'm getting kind of off track here. But yeah, I would like to see more stuff for Heretic, Hexen, even Harmony. I think I would like to see a few more maps for because I think the textures and everything are like really cool. I think it's like a really
faded purple sort of washed out sort of look to it. It's really cool.
Yeah, the theme is definitely like pretty unique and like artistic and stuff. Like I do like it a lot. And even what's another one I was thinking of?
Another IWOD?
Yeah, there's no
Urban Brawl too. Well, I mean, you can just pretty much rely on.
Well, I guess just those two for now. I mean, yeah, I mean. But all those games,
Hacks,
you know, definitely. Oh yeah, maybe. Yeah, it was probably Hacks. Like even that game, even though it's like kind of goofy, I'd like to see like some user maps for that. So,
well, of course, Sazer is working on Hacks 2.0, but Sazer being Sazer, yeah. You can imagine that will come back, you know, in 2027 or something. Damn. Anyway, no, that's interesting to hear you guys' opinions on that. I was actually planning on maybe just pumping out a single Harmony map at some point in the future, just to sort of toy with it, and experiment. But it'll be interesting to see what happens in the community in the next, I don't know, 5 years or anything, if we're still around, heaven forbid 10 or something crazy like that, and see if anyone's actually put out anything. Certainly we would hope for Doom 64, but maybe some for the other stuff as well, who knows. Anyway, so I'm just going to go out on a limb here. Looking again at my repair bag in the studio, and guess that no one has brought in another topic to wind out the episode.
Man, I was too busy listening to you guys talk. God damn it!
Well, Brent, that's fine because I can open up the bag again. You know, we got all the lollies here, all the sweets.
Yeah.
Do I have to, Matt?
I guess you'll have to. Oh, sorry.
That sucks. Actually, I was gonna ask Rock King. I'm not sure if he tuned in to either of our last two episodes, because we were discussing the multiplayer in Singularity, as Tarnsman called it, and the big divide between multiplayer and, I guess, Doomworld specifically, but we probably wouldn't count the CDF into the argument here. But and folks making maps, but then not sticking around to hear feedback or being interested in providing feedback, and the people that actually play the maps that get, you know, put into 32 and 24, for example, also not giving feedback. So there's a big divide here. And we were discussing in the last episode ways to bridge the gap. And I know that the Myonic Donut suggested two things for one. I think, I'm not sure if one of them was his own or if he was just passing it on from Ralphus, I think. You might know of it. They were going to suggest a Doomworld Megawad Club sort of equivalent, but for multiplayer, for duels. Do you know anything about that?
Oh, yeah, I think I heard you guys discussing that before.
Okay.
I don't think,
do you think
I don't know.
Do you think it would
work out? I think it might. I mean, there's definitely, I mean, at the same time, I think, even though I think it could work, I almost wonder if it's like too little too late, because the competitive multiplayer community has definitely dwindled a lot over the past couple of years. Like if you were looking at the player bases from like 2005, 2006, and compare it to now, I mean, it's like the amount of competitive players has dropped by like 3/4. I would say it's like it's Like, wow. Damien is like a ghost town.
Well, I would say that's more of their own community's doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's true. It's definitely the admins didn't help things, but it's definitely just kind of been kind of like a natural thing that's been going on. I'm not really sure why. Maybe it's just people are just moving on and moving on to different things, and maybe they're just getting sick of it or something. I don't know, but I think Zandronum still has, like, a decent amount of competitive players since, you know, that's pretty much, like, the multiplayer port now. Unfortunately, Otamex, you know, is still pretty empty, and it's even more of a ghost town than Z-Damon. Mm. And,
could you think of a potential way to sort of bridge that gap, though? Because, I mean, I was trying to get a possible method out of Tarnsman, and eventually we sort of did. You can go back and check that episode again, for anyone who's listening. But he says that people really mean what they say when they say, I don't like playing multiplayer. But I actually believe that there's a great number of untapped potential in the Doom community. You know, people who just haven't even considered playing multiplayer, who might say, okay, I don't play this and I don't really have any interest in doing so, but if you could somehow reach out to them by some means on Doomworld, and for example, with that Doomworld Megawatt Club thread equivalent, or perhaps by... the Mario Zanon suggestion of having a dual tournament in which you have to play on the maps that members of the community themselves have to make. So that might sort of encourage them to stick around, which I thought was a pretty interesting idea. No, I thought that was a really good one. We actually kind of did that for CGI, certainly in a sort of roundabout sort of way. But, I mean, do you have any sort of... input on this matter, Rot? Like, maybe you can think of sort of an idea as to how you could get... folks more interested in it, those that might potentially be interested but don't actually know it yet from Doomworld.
I mean, I guess it's kind of hard to say, like, just on the spur of the moment, but talking about going back to your other project ideas, like the Megawatt Club thing, I think that could work out. I mean, I think it probably would draw in a few people who normally wouldn't play in competitive modes and stuff like that, have them make maps, critique other maps, and play with other players and stuff like that. But I think it's really just, like, it depends on the person. Like, it's not really, like, you might get some people to play for a little bit, but I think it just depends on the person, like, whether they're, like, a real, like, competitive kind of player or not. Because a lot of people just don't like losing. Like, they just can't handle it. Like, it's too much for them.
I need to go get a glass of water. Done.
Yeah, they can't really just, like, be like, okay, well, you know, I lost. You know, obviously I'm just starting out, you know, I'm going to be bad, and I'll just keep working at it and just have fun. But, like, they take it, like, way too personally, and so they just kind of, like, they make it, like, a bad experience for themselves. You know, they just don't really have, like, the correct mindset for it.
That's the experience of bringing new players to an existing experienced community, though, there. And then that sort of thing would happen. I mean, if you have tons of new players playing with each other, then I imagine that wouldn't be as big of a problem.
Right. There's also kind of... I remember, what was it, the people cynically say that every single Doom 2 deathmatch kind of turns into... super shotgun jousting.
I think that's just a populist thing to say, I think.
It is, but my God, is it ever true, at least for me?
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's kind of like the meat of the game, though. Like, honestly, like, I don't think it's so much of a problem, because when you think about it, like, okay, if you don't want SSG jousting, like, what else can you really do? Like,
what
shotguns
do you want,
and chain guns?
Freak.
I mean, like, yeah, I mean, like, if you do shotguns and chain guns, I mean, it's going to be, like, okay for a little while, but it's honestly kind of tedious, because, like, even though the damage is still really high with those weapons, like, it doesn't have the satisfaction of just pointing at a guy and just blowing him away and just one hit, you know?
I mean, like, the thing is, though, I think there just has to be probably better maps that are kind of deal with Doom's imbalance with some weapons. Like, for example, like, if you have a plasma rifle in the map, you have to limit the ammo for it, because that's, like, a devastating weapon in the right hands.
Do you play multiplayer much?
Yeah. I mean, I did way back when. So much online, but when I say not back when, I mean, like, early 2000.
Oh, okay.
But it's kind of... I mean, since I'm usually, I guess, a map maker. I kind of gravitate towards the thriving communities that make maps, and most of the time it's the single player type of communities, not the multiplayer ones. And I mean, I don't know. I think it's more along the lines of I don't play very much multiplayer, so I enjoy single player more. I don't have to deal with other people.
I think the problem you're saying would like limit the, you know, like the ammo for the plasma rifle and you know, obviously the BFG too and the rocket launcher. I mean, I think for the most part, like there's a lot of like decent, like pretty well balanced deathmatch WoWs out there. Especially if you haven't like played a lot since like the early 2000s. I mean, there's been a lot of deathmatch mega WoWs released right, in that yeah. time. So I think maybe if you tried like a selection of different ones, maybe you wouldn't start to like it again.
Yeah, right. I mean the thing is, like I'm missing a lot of years of in between like now and when I last played it. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, if there was still a dedicated community for it, then there has to be some maps specifically tailored for balancing out Doom's rough spots in terms of multiplayer to make it more like balanced for a competitive thing. But I mean, I guess I can't really speak too much on it since I haven't really participated, I guess. But I would definitely like to participate in some multiplayer stuff just to, you know, to get back in it. But I think maybe another barrier to entry is the game setup. I mean, like, in order to start a game, like, I mean, games these days do it all from in-game. Is Xandrinum still could do it in-game, or do you still have to kind of have an outside program?
You still have to use, like, a server browser and stuff like that.
Mm. It's pretty simple, though. I mean, I can understand. You know how IT illiterate I am. Extremely.
I mean, I guess it would be nice if there was some kind of fancy modern, like, search for a game, like, you know, select game mode, and, you know, auto-join populated servers and shit like games nowadays have. Right. I mean, I guess that would be nice, but honestly, like, going back to, like, the balance discussion, I think part of, like, enjoying Doom Deathmatch, though, like, is not really, like, caring so much about the balance, it's just, like, embracing the imbalance, because, like, the unbalanced shit is what makes it fun.
And true,
and, like, that kind of defines, like, Doom's gameplay, you know? Like, if you try to balance everything, it's gonna make everything, like, homogenized, so it kind of makes things, it's fun to use, like, overpowered things and have overpowered things, like, used against you. It's just right. kind of, like, something you have to embrace in order to, like, really enjoy Doom gameplay, I think.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, like, if you're, like, really, really competitive, that's going to be something that you hate. So, like, if you're trying to, break into another community, like, you've played, like, Quake and, or, like, I don't know, like, even, like, freaking, like, Call of Duty and Halo and shit. Like, and you want to, like, go back to, like, whoa, what was gaming like back then? And people start, like, joining Doom servers and whatever, and they get their asses completely kicked because everybody knows all the advantages and disadvantages of Doom. They're going to be like, yeah, well, fuck this. I guess old, like, you know, classic gaming sucks. I'm glad I'm sticking with what I have now. So, I mean, like, like, you really have to have, like, either an open mind or just enjoy playing. Like, there's, like, seems to be no room for actual, for competitive people in a game like Doom.
Well, I mean, I think it is competitive, though. Like, like you can have it, things be imbalanced and still have it be competitive and fun. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just, like, I don't know. It also kind of, since I play a lot of fighting games and stuff like that, that's, like, another genre where there's a lot of cases where you have games where they try to strive for, like, as tight, like, extremely tight balance. Everything is, like, everything's fair, everything's balanced. Every character has, like, good tools and stuff. There's no, like, unfair matchups. But then it's, like, it becomes boring because, like, there's just, like, there's too much, like, balance everywhere. Like, it might be good for the people who are just starting out and people like you said who are playing, like, Halo and Call of Duty and stuff. But then, like, for people who want more, like, it just becomes too monotonous. So you want the games that are kind of unbalanced, and it's, like, it's the unbalanced stuff that makes it fun, you know? It's the unbalanced, like, the unfair matchups in fighting games that makes things, like, fun and interesting, you
but
know?
But it makes it entertaining at the very least.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, if you're a participant, that entertainment is changed.
Yeah.
Kirby works more like Minigun. Minigun is a quality individual. I don't think he's ever won a duel, as far as I can tell. I think I've seen him play in about 50 or 60 plus. He's never, but he keeps coming back, and he doesn't give a shit about the fact that he wins.
Yeah, he's a champ. He's a trooper. Right. He keeps on going.
He's given us some quality games to watch as well. I remember that Thriller. When he lost to, I think it was Jackifer in 30-29 for the Counter Initiative Tournament. Not that you'll know what that is because it's behind bars. Anyway, we're going to have to wrap it up here because we are approaching, or have actually just passed an hour, I think. All in all, a good day's discussion. So we'll be back next week with more material, but not necessarily the same people, which is a shame because you two have been fantastic. Thanks very much for tuning in. This is Alfonso, Matt, and Rock King signing off.